Good to see you're here. I may not always know everybody or every face or talk to every person, but just seeing you, your presence, it does something. I believe that's why the apostle said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." There is a blessing that you possess. Maybe you're like me and you make a joyful noise when you sing. Maybe you just sit there and smile. Maybe you're there and you're just indifferent because of the circumstance of life and the things that you've been facing with. But there's something about your presence that does something to benefit your brothers and sisters in the Lord tonight. And I just want to thank you for coming. I also acknowledge tonight that without the help of the Spirit of the Lord, I can get in the way. My shortcomings, my inadequacies, my inabilities, they can hinder, but I'm confident tonight that the Spirit of the Lord is greater than that. I come before you tonight, much like Elijah did before the prophets of Baal. And you remember on that sacrifice that he offered up, he poured a lot of water, a lot of barrels of water. And I remember one time, like Moses, making an excuse for why I couldn't do something for the Lord, and the Lord allowing me to go on for a period of time and naming out all my inadequacies. The Lord says, your inadequacies are just like that water. And if you'd like to go ahead and add it to your sacrifice, I'll consume it as well. So I stand before you tonight confident in the Spirit of the Lord and His ability. And I trust that you'll do the same in your life when the Lord calls to you to do the things that He'd have you to do. I want to speak tonight beginning in the 18th chapter of Luke. For my little buddy that asks me every night, what should we call this? I guess we could call it Greater Faith. Want to get a little bit of scripture here again, 18th chapter of Luke. We'll begin first verse, and it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And we'll come back and touch on that a little later. "Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, nor neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" We see here in this parable, the Lord is stressing the importance of prayer, the importance of the most powerful tool that we possess. Many times we think, well, all I got left to do is pray. Lord, help us to fix our thinking. Lord, help us to recognize the power of prayer and what its ability is to accomplish. Lord, help us to recognize that when we get down to pray, that it's not just a vain repetition, it's not just an utterance of words, but it's time for me to do business and speak directly to God. Unlike these companies, when I have a problem and I call, I don't get a recorder. I don't get somebody where I don't understand their language, but rather I get somebody who not only understands my language, but allows me to understand his. When I'm calling on God, there is no middle party. Lord, help us to have the faith to take that in, to recognize that when we call out in prayer, God is listening. Just as Brother Ed was talking about, whether he's making the metaphor where the Lord was standing and waiting for us, as in the song was written. There's a place in Scripture where the disciples were rowing their boat at night and they were fighting against the storm and the Lord was watching from the shore. And when the time was right, he passed by and took care of the situation, but he watched them toil. Sometimes we have some toils. Sometimes we have some circumstances, maybe in our own mind, maybe in reality, that we're fighting through and we're working through. God is watching. He's not asleep. He's not slumbering. He's not on a vacation as the gods of Baal were. But he's a God who's patiently listening to you, endeavoring to work out his goodwill in your life. But Jesus spoke some prophecy here. He said, when I come again, will I find faith? Yes. I believe that the Lord is talking about a faith that goes greater than just believing that he's Jesus. Although that's where it begins. We have a scripture that says, for without faith it is impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And contained in that bit of scripture is a promise. And it's a principle which God himself has established, that when it comes to our Christian experience, when it comes to our life with God, it must begin with faith. It must begin with a belief that can't be proven. A belief that God is, that he truly exists, that he ordered this universe, that when I look up in the sky and I behold the wonder of the stars and I recognize, oh Lord, how great thou art. When I go out into the wilderness and I behold God's handiwork, and when I look at men and women and the creation of all that God has made, that I attribute it to the Creator, that I have a belief and a faith in him. That's where it begins. But you know, the Lord desires a greater faith. There's a scripture in the 18th or 8th chapter of Matthew you'd like to get. Eighth chapter of Matthew, again verses 1 through 10. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This was right after the preaching of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus had done many miraculous things for the folks. They recognized that he had an authority that they weren't familiar with, that God himself had given Jesus Christ. And they were amazed at his authority and they began to follow him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And you can imagine what that did for that man's faith. Yes. To be able to stand there and undeniably he is aware of the fact that he has a condition, that he has a definite need, and he comes before Jesus and he exercises a bit of faith, and immediately it's gone. It's fixed. You know, the Lord wants a greater faith than that of us. See, this man had his faith motivated because of what he saw. And that's a great place to start. Where we are willing to trust the Lord in the circumstances of life and tarry before him. But you know, the Lord wants our faith to be greater than just in what we see him do. We read on here, and the Lord didn't end the story. Fifth verse, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. The centurion did not see the healing of the leper. It's a different town. And the centurion, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The Lord was acknowledging that this man had been brought to a place that his faith was not in what Jesus had done, but in what he would do. And I believe tonight the Lord desires for all of us, whether we're beginning our faith or whether we've been down the road for 49 years, maybe a few years shorter, maybe a few years longer, that there is still a place in your Christian experience where the Lord wants to give you something greater, where the Lord desires to embolden you as you face your circumstances of life, as you face your battles and your trials. The Lord desires to give you a tool, a greater faith that will allow you to withstand whatever comes against you. And it doesn't hinge on what God is doing, but it hinges simply upon his word, the promises that are contained in his holy scriptures, the assurance that he gives when he sends his spirit to speak to your heart and to my heart, the things that he desires to see accomplished. The Lord desires to give us that kind of faith where we'll be the kind of people, not just ministers, not just teachers, not just preachers, not just Sunday school or leaders, but from the youngest to the oldest, the promise said, they would all know God. And that is what the Lord is desiring for us tonight, that from the youngest to the oldest, that we would search our hearts, that we would desire to see of the Lord a greater faith created in our own experience that supersedes what he has done to this point. Seventh chapter of Matthew, 21 through 23. Some of the scariest portions of the Bible to me. It makes a godly fear shudder over my body when I read it. Because it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These were people that were convinced in their own mind that they were doing God's job, that they were doing the work of God, that they were doing God's will. And you look at the things that they're claiming, they're fairly impressive. Casting out demons, many wonderful works, all in the name of the Lord. And the whole time they were going along, even though they were performing works and they were doing, quote unquote, good deeds, godly deeds, the Lord never knew them in all of it. It gets back to that faith, believing that God is and that he will reward me if I diligently seek him, believing that when it comes to my life, when it comes to when I wake up in the morning, that I'm willing to recognize that, God, I'm yours and I'm not mine. And when it comes to this day, Lord, help me to sing 239. Take my life and let it be consecrated wholly to thee in this day that I'm going to live, that you have given me as I roll out of this bed and I endeavor to go about and do things. Lord, give me the faith to do it according to your will. Because see, these people did it according to their own will. And when we do things according to our own will, there's no faith. Lord, help us to recognize that it's not just in works, but it's in recognizing where God is and what God is doing and what God is calling for. Because see, there's a temptation for you and I in our weak human understanding and our desire to do things. We get a little bit zealous and sometimes we desire a little bit of glory. That's our human tendency. That's why it's such a danger for us to start thinking and looking at the situation and reasoning in our own mind and thinking, well, this is what I think needs to be done, and going and doing it. I'm thinking of that scripture. I believe it's Isaiah 48 and 6. And he says, my glory will I not share with another. God is not interested in sharing his glory. And when we're out there acting according to our own will and according to our own ways, like these folks here, God doesn't get any glory in it. And God is not going to allow his glory to reside and rest upon it, because he's not going to share it. The Lord will allow glory to flow through your life and my life. He'll do it. It says here, we'll go to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. tells us how we're to have the glory of God working in our life. It comes by faith. Faith that God is not too busy to care for His children. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 10th verse. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Doesn't leave any opportunity for us to glory in our ability. Doesn't leave any opportunity for us to glory in our intellect. Doesn't leave us to glory in anything that we possess. But rather it says that if we're going to do these things, that we're going to do it as God gives. You know, it takes faith to believe God has something for me. I believe tonight God has something for you. As an individual, in your life, and in His plan for your life, and in His desire, the things that He wishes to accomplish with you and through you. But it's going to have to be as He gives. And we read on and finish this verse, and it says, that God in all things, everything, all the things that you're going to be doing, in all things, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. It takes faith to patiently wait upon God. As I've said already tonight, and I know you already know probably based upon your own experience, sometimes we get excited. We get zealous. We desire to do the work of the Lord. We desire to do the will of the Lord. And we see situations and we see circumstances. And we want to do and we want to act. But you know, the Lord wants us to do it according to His will. According to His way. And it's going to require us sometimes, as hard as it is, to do nothing. To do nothing until I can get a hold of God, until I can receive something from God. It takes a greater faith to believe that the circumstance and the situation that I think is so bad and needs my input, that God can take care of it without me. I'm reminded of a scripture in Ezekiel 18 and 4, and it says, behold, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And contained in that promise is the understanding for you and I that when it comes to our work, in or out of the body, every single one of those souls doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Little children, they get something new, a couple toys for their birthday. They know what's theirs, don't they? Other children there want to play with it? We have to train them. No, you don't say mine, you share. God says mine. When it comes to souls, when it comes to circumstances, when it comes to the work that we're endeavoring to do, and when we look out and we see a lot of issues, we see a lot of problems, we see a lot of circumstances where we feel like we have some understanding, and we want God saying mine. There are times when God is not interested in you putting your hands on it. Just like in the Old Testament when He told them to build the ark and to make the sacrifice, He said, get stone that hasn't been hewn with man's hands. I don't want it tainted with that. There are times when the Lord is going to call upon you and I. But it's going to take faith to take the time to listen. It's going to take faith, a greater faith on our behalf, to tarry before God and trust that, yes, this is the Lord. Yes, this is God speaking to me, and now is the time for me to do something. But all souls are His. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22, we'll look at verses 6 through 8. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Father, son, going out on an excursion. Abraham knows what's supposed to happen. Can you imagine the anxiety that he felt? The stress and the pressure that he was under? Knowing that here he is, his son, whom he loved and believed was a gift from God, and no doubt they'd gone many times out into the woods, maybe even to sacrifice to God. I imagine so, the son knew what was supposed to be there. He knew what the ingredient were for the sacrifice. And here they were walking out, riding something, enjoying one another's company. And the whole while, Abraham understands what is about to happen. Abraham had an understanding from God what was going to be the situation. And you know what pained Abraham's heart when he talked with his son? And he heard his son say, Daddy, knowing that it might be the very last time. Similarly, when we're working with souls, we get burdened. We're touched. We hurt when folks are lost, when folks are entangled in a situation. We hurt because we love, because we care. And we think sometimes this may be the very last time I'll ever see him saved. This may be the very last time that I'm going to have an opportunity to reach out and witness to him. It may be the very last time that they're going to ever be able to hear from God. There's a greater faith for us tonight. The faith of Abraham, read on, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide. God will provide. God is interested in souls being saved. God is interested in souls being delivered from the bondage that they find themselves entangled. God is interested tonight in delivering our brothers and sisters in the Lord out of circumstances that are troubling them. God is interested in delivering you out of your circumstances. God will provide. The devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't like that. He's going to be there to paint such a dirty and dark picture. He's going to tell you everything that's wrong, every circumstance that's working against you, every circumstance that's working against those that you're working with. Lord, help us to have a greater faith, to recognize those three words, God will provide. Lord, help me to have the faith to recognize it may not come through me. No matter how bad I want to do it, it may not come through me. I think of my own life and my own testimony, and I'm convinced because of prayer, I met two different angels in my life. The latter one was when I was in college. And prior to that, the last year of high school, I lived with my Uncle Steve and Aunt Jane and went to church when I didn't have anything else to do. Wasn't saved, wasn't living for the Lord. And I'm sure Steve could tell you they all carried a burden. But they never beat me over the head with it. They never said, hey, you need to just come on down to the altar. They didn't belittle me, berate me, or anything when I didn't make it to service because I was out doing something unimportant. But instead, they prayed. They prayed. And they prayed. Because faith in God, a trust in God, that God would take care of the situation, that no matter how their heart broke, the many times I don't know how many times I probably sat there and there was a message, gospel message went forward, and no doubt they stood up and they sang and their heart desired for me maybe to come down to the altar and get a hold of what they had. And I didn't. And I imagine it troubled them when I moved away for college, 1,300 miles. And I imagine their heart ached. But there was a faith that God would provide. And I'm thoroughly convinced that it was the prayers of them and others that desired and travailed and birthed till Christ be formed in me, that God sent a complete stranger, a hippie on the campus of Arizona State University. But he began speaking to me about the things of God. And he began to awaken my mind, which was asleep. He began to point my mind back to the countless examples that had been quietly lived before me. How is it they could live a quiet life? How is it in quietness and confidence shall be their strength? That's what the word says. It takes great faith to believe what God has given you. It takes greater faith to live it out and to allow your life to speak volumes, even when it seems like it's having no effect, if we'll commit it to the Lord in prayer. If we'll have the great faith of the centurion that even though God isn't doing something, even though it looks like all hope is lost and the opportunity has been missed, that we could have this great faith that all souls are God's and that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. It takes great faith to take that in and to commit it to prayer. But I'm going to tell you tonight, God has lots of children all over this earth. And it may not come through you, but your faith can have an effect. Your prayers can motivate God, and God can call upon his children no matter where they're at and cause them to spring into action and to do something. Greater faith. This was the faith that the Lord was talking about of this centurion, that he simply believed in God's word. He believed in Jesus' promises, and they're many. We read them, we study them, we take comfort from them from time to time, and I believe the Lord desires on a greater basis to help us understand what those really mean. I say it at home this way. We have mountaintop times when we serve the Lord. The presence of the Lord is close. We're excited. We're joyful. We just love it. And you have a great deal of faith at that time. Things get really, really bad. You're facing some serious problems. You're desperate. Faith is pretty strong then too. You want to call after the Lord. But the reality is most of your life is spent in between that. I like to call it the glorious mundane. That's where our faith is built up. I imagine any parent, and even some of the young people tonight, you look at this story of Abraham and you see that he's ready to sacrifice his own son and you think, there's no way I could do it. Well, you know the Lord built Abraham's faith up. You go and study. I spent some time reading and you go and look at throughout Genesis and you study the life of Abraham and it begins when the Lord revealed himself to him. The Bible only records the first one, but I imagine there were others. And he began speaking to the point where Abraham recognized the voice of God. And then he says, okay, I want you to go here. Okay, now I want you to do this. Now I'd like you to do this one little thing for me. In the glorious mundane, where most of our existence lives, that is where God and Jesus are desiring to be the author, the finisher of our faith. They're desiring to include new chapters. Jesus said it this way, whosoever gives a cup of cold water in my name, I shall in no wise cast out. A cup of cold water? Really? That means something to you, Lord? I thought I had to go out and win 50 souls in a day. I thought I had to debate the most renowned atheists and bring them to the conclusion that God is real. I thought I had to do some mighty and marvelous work. It takes greater faith to believe that in the little things, God is working. In the little things that you do and that I do on a daily basis. Lord, help us to have our faith increase, to have a greater faith, to believe that you're willing to work in the glorious mundane, that you're desiring to create within us your glory. I want to go over to the fifth chapter of James. Get a little bit of some more of this tool. And it says, James 5 and 16, familiar verse, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think it's important to note, sometimes we go over this, skip over it rather, but I think it's important to note that it says confess your faults one to another. It's not only good for the soul, it's good for relationship building. It's good for our humility to recognize that I don't always do it right. I don't always have the right attitude. And sometimes because I fail to get the grace of God, I struggle. This is an area where I'm weak. This is where the Lord is working on me. To be able to confess that one to another, to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, to share with them, this is how you can pray for me. This is how you can help me. I imagine the devil would have us think tonight, there's some people I couldn't share that with. They'd hurt me. They'd share it with somebody else. It takes great faith. It takes great faith. This is God's pattern for his people. This is God's design for us to have his glory residing in our presence. That we would be willing to trust one another. That we would be willing to confide in one another. That we would be willing to have greater faith in one another. Many times the temptation is to find fault. To recognize what's wrong. Sometimes we don't even wait for them to tell us their faults. We've already assumed what they are. Lord, help us. If we want God's glory, we can't do it according to our intellect or our will. We're like those folks in the seventh chapter of Matthew if we do that. Our heart's desire is to make heaven our home. Our heart's desire is to have the glory of God residing in this place so that when other folks look on, we don't even have to say anything. If other folks will just look on and see God working in our midst, they're going to be convicted. They're going to be inspired with a faith when they see a people that have their faith and their confidence exclusively in God and not in their intellect, not in their abilities, but in God himself. Because when we have our faith in God and our confidence in God alone, then the glory comes. He's not going to share it with another. It comes when our confidence and our faith is in him. And so it says here, confessing our faults, there's something about that that draws us together. But it goes a little bit further. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I know we use this for divine healing, and rightfully so. But you know it's for all kinds of healing. You name the problem. You name the circumstance. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Having confidence and faith that God is God. That he is on his throne. That Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are. That Jesus understands what I'm feeling. That he understands and knows what it means to go through what I'm going through. He understands the zeal and the compulsion to act and to do. He understands it completely. He was there as well. Lord, help me to have the faith to come to you. Lord, help me to have the faith to trust that you'll give the answer, and if you don't use me, that it's not an opportunity lost. You're still God. That soul is still yours. You're still desirous that it will be saved, and you still have other children that you'll use and bring into the place where they need to be to accomplish your work, to accomplish your will. I'm not going to shy away from it. But I've been a lot of places this fall and this summer, and there are a lot of folks that are uncertain. Some are fearful. Some are wondering. God's church will always suffer persecution. It will always be there. But God is greater. Lord, help us to have the faith to recognize that God will defend his church. I'm reminded of that scripture. I believe it's in Psalms 100, maybe verse 5. And it says, his truth endureth unto all generations. And I think of that often. I think about how many generations have passed between when that was written and to when I first read it. And I had nothing to do with it, and yet it's still there. There's been a lot of wickedness that's passed through this world between now and then. But it didn't hinder God. And it's the same God that we serve today. And there will be a lot of different things that we can see, that we can hear, that we think about. But God is greater. God will provide. When it comes to the defense of his children, when it comes to the defense of you and your endeavor to live for the Lord, he'll take care of you. You don't have to be like Peter and pull out the sword and do it of your own will and your own accord. God's got armies that you don't see. We read of that in the Old Testament when the older prophet asked the Lord to open the eyes of the younger prophet, and he beheld the armies of the Lord, which were far greater than what he saw with the natural eye. Lord, give us the faith. Create in us that kind of faith. That we could take this in, that we could recognize, not just in my head, but in my heart, and not just tonight, but 3 weeks from now, when I'm at school, when I'm at work, when I'm in the glorious mundane, Lord, help me to have that kind of faith. Write in me that chapter. Strengthen me. Build me up as you did Abraham. I want to say tonight, if you're not there, don't be discouraged. It took Abraham some time to get there. But the same God that Abraham served, same one we get to serve. He knows what he's doing. He's desirous to write those chapters in your life, and he knows just exactly how to bring it to pass. In closing, I'd like to say tonight, God is desirous that we have a greater faith in one another, in our brothers and sisters in the Lord. When it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our dealings with one another, I believe the Lord is desirous that we would give each other the benefit of the doubt. That instead of thinking like the devil wants us to think, because the devil is desirous to create a wedge, to separate. And I do this all the time with myself, and I share it with others. Anytime you get sitting down and a situation or a circumstance comes up and you start thinking and you feel like, consider those thoughts. Carry them out in your mind to the very end. And what does it do? Does it bring you closer to that person or further away? Therein you'll know where God is and where the devil is. We need to have a greater faith in one another. We need to believe and extend to one another the benefit of the doubt that if you say you love the Lord and you're going to serve the Lord, then I'm going to trust that you'll do it. And if I start examining, maybe because it's obvious to me and I see some things that cause doubt, Lord, help me to have the faith to believe that if I go and commit it to him in prayer, that he'll do something with or without me. That God is God. That he, that soul that I am concerned about, that soul that I see something that I'm not so certain about. Can I say it this way? I know I said in closing and I'm still talking. But we need a greater faith in hell. We really do. We need a greater faith to believe that hell is as bad as God describes it in his word. That it is a place that's more than just a bad day. It's more than just a bad week or a bad month or a bad year. It's bad for eternity with no escape. And when I really allow the Lord to create in me a belief that hell is as bad as he says it is, it's going to create this patience. It's going to create this love. It's going to create this motivation in my heart to come and say, God, this is serious business. I'm truly, honestly concerned about this situation and what might happen to the souls that are involved. And I don't want them for any circumstance, Lord, to end up in that place. I'm willing to wait if I need to wait. I'm willing to say if I need to say. I'm willing to do if I need to do. You know, as I have been challenged and increased of the Lord about hell, I can't say I'm 100% to this place. But I can tell you, I'm a lot further along than I ever was. My belief in hell is almost to the point now where I'm not even worried about being offended by anybody. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. But I believe hell is far worse than what you can do to me. And I have faith that regardless of what you do, God can fix it. God can heal it. I also believe that no matter how wicked and vile you are, God knows how to win your soul. If you're feeling overwhelmed, the Lord desires to help you with that. If there are things that preoccupy your mind, hinder your sleep, take away your joy, take away your abundant life that's been promised to you, God has a new chapter of faith for you. And when he gives you that chapter, you're going to be able to lay it down. Whatever is overwhelming you, whatever is preoccupying, whatever is stealing your joy, you're going to be able to lay it down at his feet, because God in that faith is going to give you confidence in his ability to take care of it, with or without you. Trust the Lord, encourage and inspire tonight. And that my hope and confidence is that God will lead all of us to a greater faith in him. And that as he does that, we'll patiently tarry before him, waiting for his timing, so that his glory may come. Amen.